Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So, you know, normally the texts after Tony Bates are, oh my God, Tony Bates is so amazing, and he's that was something that was on my mind, and he's really cleared things up for you and everything. Lot of envy today. Not an attractive emotion, but a lot of envy. Everyone thinking, is it grand for Tony Bates there now? And his, I think we'd all like 3 months silence would do people, a weekend of silence. I think we'd all like it. But we're going to have the opposite to that now. My next guest today, right, is an American musician. And he's spending a bit of time here in Ireland because I think because his girlfriend is working here, so he's with her. And he's going to do a gig here soon. But look, he's relatively new to Ireland, okay? So he's brought his girlfriend into the studio with him for a bit of moral support. So John Zambetti of the band The Malibus and actress and general legend Jane Seymour, you're both very welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here. Good
although morning. We'll be remaining silent.
So look, we'll get to music and the rest of it. Can I say first? So I had my kind of celebrity couple that I would have hoped to emanate as I went on in life were Liev Schreiber and Naomi Watts. You guys are it now. You are now my new celebrity couple, an example to all of us. You're living life to the max. And you're like two teenagers as well. You're together, what, about a year? So you're in the first flushes of love?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it true, Jane, your sons got you together?
Yes, they did. My son, Sean, was very close friends with his son, Johnny, and his daughter, Catherine. And they used to hang out at my house, and my son used to hang out at his house, but we never met, ever.
And how did you meet, John?
Well, I heard there was free food, being a musician. No. What happened was I actually went to see a friend of mine, Rusty Anderson, who's the guitarist for Paul McCartney, and he was playing with his little band at a small club called Dreamland in Malibu. And normally I wouldn't go by myself, but I was doing nothing that night. I thought I should support Rusty. So I said, okay, I'll go down there. So I was watching Rusty, and I turned around to go to the gents, and there was Jane with two ladies. And, my eyesight isn't what it used to be long distance. And I thought she was somebody who I knew because I've lived in Malibu for 30-plus years, and I played guitar in the church for 30 years, and I've coached sports, blah, blah, blah. So lots of people know my face, and I know them, but I don't know their name. So just to be polite, I usually, hey, how are you doing? And I was about to give her a hey, how are you doing? And I said, oh, it's Jane Seymour. I don't know her. But when I went into the gents, I called my son, who was on tour in Europe with his band. I said, what's going on with Jane Seymour? I mean, if she was my girlfriend or wife, I wouldn't have her in a club by herself unescorted. Now, this does not ring well with a lot of women. It becomes a bit controlling, but I meant it in a nice way, just not to be escorted. So he called her son, and both boys have a mutual friend named Aaron Smith. He's a rapper called Shwayze, and his was raised by his grandmother. His parents were out to lunch. And so he spent half his time at my house and half his time at her house, and kind of looked at her as a mother and me as a father.
Okay, so you were co-parenting without ever knowing.
We were.
She actually almost actually adopted
I did.
Him. And anyway, long story short, the phone calls were made, and they said, no, this would be great. Mom and Dad, we'll get them together.
And they did, because Shwayze was performing the same place the following week. I went there, and I met this man in the corner where the grandmother was, and he said, I think we're supposed to meet. And I went, yes, we are. And that's it. We've been together ever since.
But you had sworn off men at that point, hadn't you, Jane?
Well, I don't know about that. I was just very disillusioned with relationships I'd been in. And, I have my career. I have a full family, grandchildren. I have a lot of friends. I didn't feel there was any need to go dating or looking for anyone at this time in my life.
Okay. But there was something about John.
Yep. He got hold of me, I mean, and didn't leave. I mean, he came to the house the next day, and we were talking about life for about 5 hours. The following day, I said my family coming over, 13 of them showed up. They basically told me in no uncertain terms that they really liked him, so don't screw this up. You know, this, we want him to be our friend. We really enjoy his company.
This is all happening very quickly.
All happening very quickly. Yeah. I went away because I had a prearranged trip on a yacht with a bunch of very wealthy people, and, you know, thinking this would be an interesting life. And he goes and sends me a song by text. He writes me a song. And that just basically did it.
I'm sure men have done very many crazy things for you over the years, Jane Seymour. Had a man ever written you a song before?
No, this is the first. This is the first. And it was followed up by a second and then eventually a third. So, you know, it was a very persistent approach, which clearly worked.
And actually, John, you have shared with us that first song you sent, that won her heart. This is called A While.
Oh, no.
I couldn't get to sleep last night. That's not like me. I could not figure out just why I lay in dreams, and then your eyes came flashing by. Your hair, your voice, your smile. I knew that I would be there for a while.
Love it. And Tony Bates was just in there talking about how we must be open and everything like that. That is such an open, straightforward declaration, isn't it? It's lovely. And you, John, this is kind of old-fashioned stuff. You hadn't even kissed Jane at the point when you wrote that.
No, I hadn't.
No, not at all.
See, an old-fashioned kind of guy, Jane, was an old-fashioned courtship.
Yes, but very persistent. I mean,
okay, let's not overplay that one, because you know the way.
No, it was old fashioned, but you know when you connect with someone, like we were talking earlier about being in the moment, about you know, John's a very special person, and we realized we had an enormous amount in common, and we really felt the same way about things, and it was just seamless. It just, I don't know. I mean, I've never had this experience. It's amazing.
Never?
Not like this, no.
Really?
And of course, the other extraordinary thing is, you know, I'm 73, 75. It's late in the day to start looking for somebody. And then, of course, you got kids and grandchildren, and how does anyone, you know, how do you fit that in with your career and the rest of it? And I couldn't imagine there'd be somebody who, you know, has his own career and does his things, that would actually want to spend any time around me when I'm filming in Ireland. So he came along, and now he's making music in Ireland.
Okay. And listen, I mean, I don't want to be indelicate here, but after the very chaste courtship and the writing of love poems by songs and the sending thereof and everything, I feel you've been making up for that chasteness since, because, Jane, you have spoken yourself about how, well, not to put too fine a point in it, your love life has never been better.
Well, you know, there was a magazine, a specific magazine, and they had celebrities talking about, you know, love life after 50 or after 40, because apparently...
And we just explained to people, when we say love life, we're talking sex life.
Yes, because for some reason people think that that ends. And I don't know how I got roped into that particular article, but a lot of major people did. And it was meant to be helpful and supportive and empowering to people, rather than salacious or
overly
personal.
No, we're not being salacious. I think it absolutely
true,
is empowering
though.
People, because we do actually put people beyond a certain age into a box and think of them as sexless, kind of, in a way, and it's fantastic to.
I did give her notes, I have to say.
Notes on what to say in
You're
the
right,
interview.
Right.
Yes. I hear you. Okay. So I can see that there's great fun between the two of you. You don't take yourselves and each other too seriously. Is that part of the way of keeping the spark alive, John?
I think humor, I think it's hard to have love without humor, in my mind, because humor is such a powerful emotion. If two people don't have the same sense of humor, I think it's not going to work. But for us, we both have this kind of wacky sense of humor, and it's really great, because no matter what is thrown at us, you know, we've actually had death threats, if you could believe it. You know, there's negativity that happens when you're in this position with people. But we...
Really, in what way? What's the negativity?
Well,
we don't know why.
I mean, there's way more positivity. But sometimes people on social media will say things or whatever. You know, and
because they're jealous of you.
Because they're jealous. Or
oh, yeah.
And so we just...
I'm jealous of you. I'm not going to issue any threats.
Please don't write anything.
And you're moving in together, is that right?
We have, yes.
Yeah, we've been together almost 14 months now.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, yeah. move in. Yeah. Are the kids on board with this moving in?
Big time, yes. And he's sort of almost become a grandparent. And it all happened very fast. I mean, my family in England, they just immediately took him on as, you're the one, you're in our family. So it's just been amazing. I mean, we never expected that. And we've been gone here in Ireland, and now we're finding out that our kids are all getting together while we're gone, independently.
Okay.
Yeah.
We celebrate our anniversary every month because it's like dog years.
And we even put him in Harry Wilde. He's in the background. The director adores him, and Rob Quinn, and put him in the background as a ballroom dancer. That was kind of interesting.
So Jane, people can get cautious as they get older about relationships and everything and become more, but it sounds like you've just gone into this hook, line and sinker and throwing yourself into it.
You know what? I am open-minded and open-hearted, as we were talking about. That's always been my thing. And I have been through tough times and betrayals and things like that. And for some reason, I trust totally. And I know that I'm right in making that choice. I just
now,
feel
look,
it.
I'm not going to interfere, but you know rock and rollers, right? They're not the most reliable. Are you sure he is?
Well, he's very reliable. He started his band when he was 13 and they're still playing.
Okay, fair enough. He's a loyal puppy, isn't he?
He's a little bit different. He also happens to be a very fine emergency room doctor as well alongside that. So he ticks a number of boxes. My father was a doctor too, so I grew up with
him. And of course, you I was for many Dr. people Quinn. Are a doctor.
We argue over how we treat patients sometimes, don't we?
So Jane, you're here filming another series of Harry Wilde now, which of course is shown here in RTE, and people who know it, the character of Harry was written with you in mind, and as people get to know you now, they can see that it's very fitting. Harry Wilde, she's not exactly Mrs. Marple, like, is
not
she?
At all, no. She's a English literature professor from Trinity who quits after 30 years because her students are more interested in partying, and finds herself solving crimes for her son, who's a guard and is not as smart as she is, and she uses her knowledge of literature and history to solve it. It's very comedic. Her sidekick is a 16-year-old kid from the other side of Dublin who knows the street and doesn't want to, you know, be educated anymore. And between the two of them, it's very comedic. It's also very heartfelt and amazing writing by Dave Logan and Joe Spain, who, of course, is, you know, your great crime novelist. And it's just, as I say, it's great crack. And it's sold all over the world now. So I love it because it's about Dublin. It's about this area. It's about a lot of Irish people. And
you're kind of semi-Irish now at this stage.
Oh, I'm Irish-ish.
Irish-ish,
I call myself.
And John, had you been to Ireland before coming with Jane this time?
My original name is Ozambetti.
No.
We dropped the O.
Oh,
Begara. And I like it too. I have been to Ireland many times. My late wife was of Irish descent. So, and from Castlebar, I'd say I'd been here 5 or 6 times before.
And I see from your Instagrams that you're around the country enjoying Ireland and everything. John, you were involved, got sucked into a major session in Doolin recently, did you?
It was a crazy situation. We went to Gus O'Connor's pub there in Doolin, and they recognized Jane, and the manager was there, and Jane, of course, goes, oh, he's a musician, he's in the Hall of Fame in California, blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, then you should play with the group. And I said, well, you know, it's their show. I don't want to interfere. So then the group started.
He's modest too.
Well, the group started playing, and then the guitarist came. He was left-handed. So I thought, okay, well, he's got a left-handed guitar. I'm off the hook. I'll just enjoy the watch them, whatever. Few minutes later, the manager comes up. Oh, we found this guitar in the storeroom.
With a hole in it, tape all over it.
It had a huge hole in it, way larger than the sound hole, in a different place in the guitar, covered with masking tape. The strings literally were from the Bronze Age, and it was still cooling from the earth cooling. And I put a little you know, brown sauce on them and got them together and played.
And they played, and then they put him on the spot and said, play one of your things. And so he had no idea that was going to happen. And mercifully, he played something. It wasn't one of yours, but it was a song Americans knew. And there were a lot of American tourists there. So they kept saying, shh, listen. And then you ended up jamming with them, didn't you? It was really fun. They're so talented. What a great pub. We had the best time. We've been all over Ireland.
Did you sing that night?
No, I did not sing that night, but I have been known to sing with the Malibus.
You get up. So listen, after all these years, you become kind of a groupie.
I'm a groupie, yeah, sort of. I don't. It's crazy, but
she's the chick singer.
I'm the chick singer. Yeah. I'm not really singing. I just ooey ooh. That's all.
I'm looking good.
She is singing. Yeah. She is singing.
So tell me about the Malibus. You were originally a surf rock band.
Yes.
From
New York. Believe it or not, and it was spelled Malibus apostrophe S in the wrong place. But what happened was we'd play, and the presenters would say, "Oh, it's the Malibus." And then finally we had a presenter who had a little bit of dyslexia, had got the L and the I mixed up and said, oh, here they are, Malibus. And this is pre-hooked on phonics. So I thought, okay, so I'd put the 00Z. I didn't want the E on the N because I didn't want it to look like we were some kind of fraternity band.
Yeah.
But that's how it went. And and we had this band, and then we played the World's Fair in 1964 and 65, had a bit of success then. And then we've kept on going after we went to college together. And my other partner, his name is Walter Egan. And what happened was after we went to college together, after college, we played for a bit, and I just wasn't making a living that I could make, and my parents wouldn't support me. They were horrified that I was doing that. And I had done well in school, so I applied to medical school and got in New York and paid for it by doing sessions and playing clubs at nighttime. Meanwhile, Walter kept playing. He got signed to Columbia Records. I came out after my residency to play with him, and we were signed out of the blue, Lindsey Buckingham as our producer.
From Fleetwood Mac.
Just as he was joining Fleetwood Mac with Stevie. So there we're all over the first two albums. Lindsey produced the first two albums. And we had a hit as Walter Egan Band called Magnet and Steel. And that was a big international hit. And then after that, we had Hot Summer Nights. And then because of that, Rhino Warner Brothers wanted the Malibus back together again. So that happened in 1981. And we've just kept rolling.
So you've kept at it since then, and the Malibus will be playing in the Purty Loft on October 5th as part of the Dunleary Music Festival.
And we're very excited that we have support with us. Our special guests are going to be the New Cafe Orchestra, which is, you know, some great players, Drajan Derek, who was played with the Chieftains, mm-hmm. and Richie Buckley plays with Van Morrison, great players, and so it's exciting to have them playing on the same bill as us.
So the two of you are totally integrated into South County Dublin life. I can see you're hanging around with the local musos and you're living there. By the way, before you go, can I say you both look absolutely fantastic. Jane, what's the secret?
Happiness. Oh, and purpose, and, you know, doing something I love. I mean, I love acting. I love working here. I love Ireland. I love the Irish people. It's just, we really feel like we belong here.
I find it
as an actual doctor. Do you have anything more practical for me there, John, on how you both look so fantastic?
Well, she has this cream she's pushing that she puts all over me at night time.
No, I think we eat well, and we behave well in terms of what we imbibe.
Yeah,
you know, we're reasonably health conscious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reasonably, but I can see it's not a grim life either. You're having a good time there.
Yeah, they're
listen, good. Guys, thank you so much. You are a fantastic couple. You are an absolute inspiration to all of us now. You are my model for going into the future. Malibu's Purty Loft, October 5th, as part of the Dunleary Music Festival. Also includes Mundy, Francis Black, Keela, and lots more acts. And you'll get more details at dunlearymusicfestival.ie. Jane Seymour and John Zambetti, thank you very much. And can I wish you many, many more months of anniversaries and
happiness
together.
Thank you. And more songs.
Yeah. Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.